Amen. Amen. It's the hour that we want to hear from our brother, Evangelist Edmund. Thank you, sir.
You can all be seated if you have a seat. And if you can open, please, into the book of Psalms 138. It's from Psalms 138. And my name is Heishimu. I'm happy to be here. I'm a missionary from America. From California, and I'm worshiping at the Reformed Baptist Church here. There's some brothers here, and a sister, and the other brother and wife that I've all attended there.
And I want to read only one verse, and it was assigned. It's in Psalms number 138. And it's in verse 8. Do you understand me well?
Yes.
The scripture says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. That's what the theme of the conference. That's the title of the message. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Here's the first thing that I want to say in this text. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. Do not forsake the works of your own hands. And the first thing I'm saying is that we pray unto God. If we don't declare or decree unto Almighty God, if you don't tell God to do something, and the Almighty God is unbound. He's not going to be commanded just by mere mortals. You're hearing me? It is amazing unto me that it could be a man in intense poverty, and then he stands up and he comes forward and tells God as to what is happening, as to what will be in the future. His own poverty, it really shows that he doesn't have the power to bring to pass his words. You're hearing me? It is prayer is made unto God. It's we ask, it's we plead, it's we make our supplications known. It's we beg, and ultimately, if you're hearing me, what we say is not my will, but your will be done. With regards to the promises of God, it's salvation. It's not houses, it's not cars, it's not health, it's not children, it's not babies. The promise of God is salvation, and if we call upon the name of the Lord, he will do it. All promises for our spiritual growth, he will do them all. But for carnal things, you ask, you beg, you make your request known with thanksgiving for what you have in Christ. But please, don't try to command God. He will kill you on that. And he will embarrass you. He's an almighty God. And he does the secret. Huh? That's God. Point number two in this verse.
I hate boasting. All of them hate boasting. I hate false prophets. And I want you to hear the truth of the gospel and to know it and to believe. And that's the reason I'm happy that this is a good fellowship. It's for you women to really to hear the gospel and to key in not on my sisters, but on the word of God, his vision, his gospel. That's what is going to happen. And if we key in unto the gospel according unto the scriptures, it shall be well with my soul. It doesn't matter as what happens in my body if I have Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. I left America because the gospel isn't about if I have money or a house or a car. I had that. If the gospel is about the salvation of souls of poor sinners from the wrath of God and having peace with God and having the joy of God inside of our heart, and being forgiven and being filled with thanksgiving and a holy life. That's the gospel.
But point number two is this. If the Lord will perfect that which concerns me.
He will do it. He will bring me and you unto the finish line. He will perfect our faith. If the sister here was going through some challenges at the church, it's unfortunate. But the Lord, he will keep each and every person who is trusting in him to keep going all of the way until the very end. Yes.
In Philippians, in chapter 1, in verse number 6, it puts it like this. You hearing me?
I need a holy life. And I need to be faithful. And I need to overcome my sin. And I need to walk with God until the finish line. He that endures and perseveres until the end, he shall be saved. I need to be that person. How about you? That's why we need the blessed promise. Even with all of our struggles, all of our challenges, it could be physical or spiritual. I need God to carry me all the way through. You?
And the scripture says here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, it's a being confident of this very thing, absolute confidence, that he who has begun a good work in you, he began it.
He chose you. If you're in Christ, he put inside of you and me a new birth, a brand new heart, a brand new mind. He put the Spirit of God inside of us. He forgave us our sins. He showed us mercy. It's his work from start unto finish.
He who hath begun a good work inside of you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
He will not stop.
He will finish his work, and he will carry all of his people unto the finish line. Every one of us. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 46, verse number 4, it says that even until your old age,
as you're old and crusty like I'm getting.
I am he, God says, as even unto the gray hairs, I will carry you. I will keep you faithful. I'll keep you believing the gospel. Even if you don't have the things in the flesh that you want, I will be with you in the spirit. Hear me. Hear me, please. Hear me. I cannot come promising you the things of this world because I don't know the future. I don't know, and nobody knows as to what is God's lot for me and you. I could get sick and die tomorrow. Does that mean I don't know God? Does that mean that he's unfaithful unto me? Are you scared to die? You scared of death? It's lost its sting. It's lost its power. It's been answered by the blood of Christ. There is no separation from God. There is no more wrath. There is no more fury. So why would I be scared to die and meet God in judgment and peace and glory? If my sins are forgiven, our sins are forgiven. If the Christian is a person that is impervious unto fear, it means in the face of fear and of danger, we don't fear because we fear God, and being his, me and you, we have everything, and we need not to fear anything else. Our fears have been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm reconciled with God. I have peace with him. And whatever happens in this world, it does not matter as long as he keeps my soul. It's my sister in Abuja from last week. It's the last month, actually. It was a very hard month on her. And she lost a person that she really loved, and her heart was broken. And so what she told me last night was, I don't know how you can go through a divorce. It just must be overwhelming. Listen to me. I know by experience. A divorce means nothing if you still have God. There's only one loss in this world that means anything unto the grieving of the soul in an unbearable fashion. It's of God. Even if we lose our children, he will comfort us. He is our comforter. He's our rock. He's our strength and shield. I don't promise you a good life in this world. I may come out here and die. I'm in Jalingo. It's for next week. And the roads are bad, no? It's the kidnappers. It's the armed robbers. But it's well with my soul. I don't care what happens unto this body if I've got God in my soul. Make your request known. I pray for a healthy life. But it does not matter. If my God decides I will have sickness, I'm going to have sickness. But if he decides to be with our soul, then we're going to have peace. We're going to have joy. We're going to have power over sin. We're going to have the victory. That's what I want from me and you. And that's a promise that's sure. It's not fake at all. It will happen. And that's what he's saying here in the Word of God. It's Isaiah in chapter number 56. And in chapter number 46, I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. That means this, that he will deliver us from the problems that come upon us in this life, so that me and you shall be able to praise God no matter what, and to do his will, and to live unto his glory, even if it kills us. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ said. He prayed in agony, but then he said, not my will, but your will be done. And then he went forth boldly unto the cross to die for our sins. He was victorious in the hour of death because he endured by faithfulness. He cried out, my God, as to why have you forsaken me? Yet all of the while he was trusting him. That's victory. It is not the circumstance. It was one thief on the cross. He said, if you're the Christ, then you save us and save yourself. His eye was on the physical, his pain, his body, his money, his life down here. It's the other thief said, after you enter into your kingdom, it's something I cannot see, but I believe. I know it by faith. Then you remember me. That's what's happening unto my body. I deserve. It's inconsequential. I want to meet God as to when I die in peace. And he died with God, and he's in heaven, and he's in paradise. And our God says he will keep his people until the finish line. That's the promise I need.
Point number three, if you go back in our text, it's in Psalm 138, verse number 8. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever.
Point number three is that it is the mercy of God that enables us to call upon him in hard times, even with our sins. Just the sister saying such a beautiful thing. He looked past me. He looked unto our Lord Jesus Christ, and he had mercy. It was old black hearted May who said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. That's what I need, mercy. I need the forgiveness of my sin by the blood of Christ, not because I deserve it. He washed them away because he took them upon Calvary's tree, and he was punished by God Almighty himself. And now I, as a poor and helpless sinner, I can call upon God even when I fail and even when I blow. I don't have to deserve it. I don't have to be righteous. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, he was righteous for me. And for you who believe his gospel. Its mercy means that at any time I can call upon his name. It's always mercy. It's always undeserved. Its mercy means it is for a condemned criminal. An armed robber. Is there any armed robber in the house? If I'm kidnapped,
in Yola, in Jalingo, and I'm able to preach Christ unto the kidnapper, this armed bandit, this armed robber. If he hears and believes, he will be forgiven of all of his sins. Even if he kills me first and he hears later. It is mercy because it is for saints who have backslidden. I started out great. I turned around. I came back in love with the world. I tried to get glory unto myself. That's what the sister was saying about her school. It isn't our glory to preach. It's the glory of God. But even we Christians, we try to live unto ourselves. And we try to use God. And he breaks us. And then when he breaks us, if we cry out, have mercy upon us. His mercy is for prodigals who squandered their entire life on loose living. Who taking the name of God and the fame of God and the glory of God and the gifts of God and the knowledge of God and the children of God and the people of God and the house of God all are granted and gone and lived for myself. His mercy is for lost prophets. So at any time, me and you can cry out unto God and say, have mercy upon me. It's for your mercy's sake. That's why I want you to give me perseverance. It's because of your mercy. That's why I'm asking you to overcome my sin. It's your mercy. That's why I want the Holy Spirit and peace inside my conscience. Your mercy. Mercy. Point number four is this. You hearing me? You cry out. You cry. Because you need it. If you need a holy life, you and me, we need a life that me and you, we cannot live. It's impossible. It's the sister that's in Abuja. She wrote me last night and she said, it was in the past week at least, that it's a particular man that's in need of repentance. It's the pastor, you know. And it's so obvious unto us. But what the sister said I experienced after going through her own trouble is that nobody can change or turn or repent or humble himself or be broken without the Almighty God. I need a life I cannot live. Not in my own strength. It's impossible that this man or this woman would ever live the Christian life until the finish line with holiness that's inside of our heart by faith, with a forgiving attitude and spirit, with a loving and a kind nature, with a tender heart, because he and you are beast by nature. I've got to be tamed. I've got to be subdued. I got to have power come inside of me that gives glory to Jesus Christ from the heart. Not just with lips, not just with show, not just when other people are looking. If I need inside of me grace to live the Christian life, it's impossible with man. But with God, all things possible. So that's as to why we pray. Ask God for it. Ask him to give it to you. Please don't pass me by.
Is that scriptures in the book of Mark in chapter number 10 with old blind Bartimaeus? And this is point four. And I'm only going to go up to point number five. But in verse number 47,
And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Savior of sinners, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Verse number 49, and so Jesus, he stood still. He stopped as to what he was doing. The God of heaven, on his way to Calvary, on his way unto a throne by way of a bloody cross, he stood still and commanded him to be called. He right now is commanding all men everywhere to repent. That's my reason I can come. He commands me to come. He says, come unto me. Cry out unto me. Make your request known. For your soul has to be saved by God.
And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. You ought to be happy. Rise.
He's calling you. So in this mercy that I need and that all of you, my sisters, need, there's a call and there's a command from God to call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will hear you. And I plead with you, but you're ready to hear me. This is the most important thing in your life and mine. And when the Bible is talking about mercy, it's not talking about money. It's not talking about children principally. It's an application. It's talking about the life of God inside your soul. And here's my last point. And I'll aim it here at the sister, but through her, after everyone here gathered, preach the word. Preach the word of God. Preach that Bible. I don't believe anything any man says about God if it's not in the Bible. I don't care what the coincidence is. I believe the word of God alone. Preach the gospel, because what me and you believe and what other people believe is important. I cannot believe anything I want to believe about God. No, it's not just an American preacher. It's Bible I've been talking. There's only one gospel. There's only one God. And me and you must know it, and we must preach it, that everybody else might know it too, in the truth of the gospel. Or it's all in vain. You hearing? If Nigeria truly knew the gospel, I wouldn't be here. I'd go elsewhere. As to where the need, it was not so great. I'm saying this, just because a man, if he has a Bible, that doesn't mean he's preaching the gospel. And when people tell you, it's all about health and wealth and money, and I declare it, I decree, and I'm going to make God, and I command God, and lie. And they need to know the gospel truth. And so as you come and you hear it, from our dear sister that's been trained and understand and that knows the gospel, ask her to tell you the truth. As to what is distinctive, as to what's so special about this meeting that is so different from all these other meetings around here I have been to,
Why is this gospel unique? I hope I don't sound like everybody else. I hope I sound unique. Because I'm telling you the truth, the God's truth. And you need to preach the gospel unto your children, unto your parents, unto your husbands, unto your wives. We need to preach the gospel and stand for it. Because that is the test of a true Christian. A true Christian, and I'm wrapping up, is he lives his life or her life unto the glory of God. And the glory of God is us bringing other people unto our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in our character. It's in our behavior. It's in our words. It's in our meekness. It's in our gentleness. It's in our holy life. It's in our true doctrine. It's the true character. And it's the true gospel. That's the truth. And I need the Lord. And he will perfect that which concerns both me and you all the way up until the end. Just believe upon him and trust him to do it for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.